The Builder's View, April 2026. Reachability Labs. A good destination can still be real even after a process has already lost every practical way to reach it. That is the core idea behind this work. And it matters because those are not the same question. One question asks whether a good endpoint exists somewhere in the landscape. The other asks whether a builder, from here, after the commitment's already made, can still get to one. Those questions can come apart. And when they come apart, a process can keep looking locally sensible, even after its future has quietly narrowed past recovery. The visible failure comes later. The real loss happens earlier. Most classical work on random constraint problems looks from above. It asks when satisfying assignments exist, how many there are, how they are arranged, when they cluster, and when they disappear. Those are important questions. But they are map questions. This work asks what the same terrain looks like from the ground. Imagine a builder trying to cross a landscape one committed step at a time. It cannot hover above the whole region. It cannot freely undo the past. It sees only a small local neighborhood, a few candidate next moves, and some limited signal about which of those moves look safest. Then it has to choose. Then it has to commit. From that point of view, a different kind of boundary appears. The landscape may still contain good destinations. Valid completions may still exist. And yet this builder, with this history already committed, may already have lost practical access to all of them. The map is still alive. The route is dead. That is the split this work is trying to make visible. Existence is not reachability. SAT is a clean place to begin because it lets you compare those two things sharply. From a partial assignment, you can still ask a crisp outside question, does any satisfying completion remain? That question may be hard to answer computationally, but it is conceptually exact. So SAT gives us a disciplined laboratory. It lets us watch a process continue making reasonable-looking moves after the reachable future may already be gone. That is what makes it such a powerful starting point. But SAT is not the endpoint of the idea. It is the first place where the separation becomes measurable in a clean way. The clearest way to see the difference is to stay on the ground with the builder. At each step, the builder sees its partial construction. It sees a few next moves. It sees some local score attached to them. In SAT, that score might reflect immediate hazard or conflict pressure, so the builder is not acting blindly. It can be careful. It can be disciplined. It can be locally rational. And still lose. That is one of the deepest points in this work. Local rationality does not guarantee future viability. A process can do the sensible thing at every visible step, and still move into a position from which no successful completion is reachable anymore. Not because the goal disappeared, because the process quietly spent the route. That shape is one reason the idea feels larger than SAT. Most people already recognize the pattern outside formal settings. In planning, design, organizations, and ordinary decision-making, a process can keep looking locally manageable even after the route to a good outcome has narrowed or vanished. That broader resonance is not a substitute for science. It is a clue. The clue is that committed process has structure of its own, and that structure may be measurable. What matters then is not only where the builder is. It is also how the builder got there. Two partial states can look almost identical from up close, and still have very different futures left available. Why? Because different histories spend different options. They use up different slack. They close off different continuations. So the past is not just background. The past is part of the geometry. This is where the standard picture starts to miss something important. If the map tells us that many solutions still exist somewhere in the landscape, that can sound reassuring. But from the builder's point of view, it may tell us almost nothing. Those remaining solutions might be spread broadly across the next few safe-looking choices. Or they might be concentrated almost entirely behind just one of them. From above, both situations can still look solution-rich. From the ground, they are completely different. In the first case, local ambiguity may still be survivable. In the second, the builder is effectively standing in front of a needle's eye. That is why total abundance is not enough. Allocation matters. Where are the live futures actually sitting relative to the choices the process can make next? That question is much closer to the real difficulty, and it points to a different kind of boundary. Suppose the builder reaches a fork. Two roads open ahead. From where the builder stands, both look stable. Both seem safe enough to keep the journey alive. The local scores tie. Nothing in the immediate view clearly marks one branch as special, and yet almost all of the remaining viable futures may sit behind only one of them. A resolution boundary is the point where local guidance becomes too weak to tell the difference. The scores are not necessarily wrong. They are simply no longer strong enough for the question that matters most. Which of these apparently safe directions still carries live futures? Once that distinction can no longer be resolved reliably before commitment, the process enters a very different regime. Now, failure is not mainly about making obviously bad moves. It is about being unable to distinguish between moves that look equally healthy, but are not equally viable. That is a different kind of event from the classical disappearance of solutions. It is not the point where destinations vanish from the map. It is the point where the builder can no longer reliably tell where the live road is. The builder takes a branch that is already globally fatal, but nothing in the local view reveals the damage. So the process keeps moving. It keeps looking normal. It keeps making progress. Only later does the dead end become visible. That visible crash is not the decisive event. The decisive event was the earlier fork. For all the steps in between, the process was still moving and already cut off from every successful completion. That is why the phrase matters. It names a regime in which the process is dead with respect to the goal before it knows it. And here is the harder point underneath it. The walking dead interval is not the exception. In what we have measured, most of the steps a failing process takes are taken after the outcome is already structurally determined. The productive-looking part of the run is the anomaly. The dead part is the norm. But that is only one morphology. The deeper point is not that failure always hides until the end. The deeper point is that reachability can be lost before visible failure, and that this loss can take distinct, measurable forms. Some landscapes hide the damage late. Some compress viable futures early. Some fail through concentration. Some fail through steady attrition. The important thing is that these are not just metaphors. They suggest diagnostics. How concentrated are the remaining viable futures across tied best moves? How quickly does that concentration rise as density increases? How much deeper look ahead is needed before the ambiguity can be resolved? How often do local health and future viability separate sharply? Those are empirical questions. And that is where something stronger emerges than the familiar observation that forward construction can fail. This failure has a boundary, a hidden mechanism, and a structure that can be compared across builders and across domains. And once you start asking those questions, the builder changes role. It is no longer just a solver. It becomes a probe. A committed process moving through a landscape is a diagnostic instrument. And here is the thing that makes that shift precise. The probe is not a different computation from the solver. It is the solver, observed. At every step, the solver was already counting how many of its candidate moves survived legality. It was already selecting the best one. It was already committing. It was computing the ratio of survivors to candidates at every step and throwing it away. The probe simply saves what the solver was already computing. Same loop. Same operations. Different interpretation. That is one reason the measurement was not performed earlier. The information was present in every solver run for decades. Nobody recorded it, because under the solver interpretation, a per-step legality count has no scientific status. Under the probe interpretation, it is the central observable. Its successes matter. Its failures matter. But so does the pattern of what it reveals about the terrain while trying to move through it. Where does ambiguity become dangerous? Where does abundance start hiding brittleness? Where does local guidance lose contact with global viability? Where do stronger instruments actually buy more reachability, and where do they not? That is why Reachability Labs thinks in terms of a process ladder. At the bottom of that ladder, the builder has very weak power to resolve tied-looking moves. A little higher up, it has better local signals. Higher still, it has modest look-ahead. Higher still, it can carry richer state, preserve more optionality, or detect dangerous concentration earlier. As you move up the ladder, the process becomes better able to resolve ambiguity before commitment makes the cost irreversible. That matters because it keeps the question from collapsing into a complaint about one weak heuristic. The point is not merely that a solver can fail. The point is that committed process and reachable future interact in a structured way across levels of process strength. Different regimes reveal themselves at different heights on that ladder. In that sense, the terrain is partly exposed by how much process power is required to keep reachability alive. That is a larger object than benchmark performance. It is also a larger object than SAT alone. SAT matters because it gives us a clean calibration site. But the underlying distinction should matter anywhere a process has to move forward under commitment, limited view, and costly reversal. You can hear the same question in routing and scheduling, in planning and design, in compilation and logistics. Any domain where a system must keep choosing the next move without being free to start over from scratch. In all of those settings, the same split can matter. Not only does a good outcome exist, but can this process still reach one from here? But there is a question underneath all of this that has mostly gone unasked. Not what the process lost, but what it built. A trajectory that does not reach the stated goal has still constructed something. It committed at every step. It realized structure. It spent futures. And the structure it built is real. It has its own properties, its own geometry, its own constraint signature. This means forfeiture and construction are not two separate effects of commitment. They are the same act seen from two directions. The forfeiture perspective says, each step spent futures. The construction perspective says, each step built structure. One act, two descriptions. You cannot build without spending. And you cannot spend without building. Once that is seen, the standard framing of success and failure starts to look like a projection. The coarsest summary of what actually happened. A process either passes the gate or it does not. But what it built is richer than that binary. Among failed trajectories, the structures are not all the same. Some nearly completed. Some built coherent partial objects that satisfy most constraints. Some are deeply compromised. Those are not just different kinds of failure. They are different structural outcomes. Each one carries information about the landscape that did not exist before someone tried to build through it. The attempt created information by creating structure. That is why goals can be too narrow. A stated goal is one point in a larger space of things the process could have built. The process visits many points in that space on the way to succeeding or failing. Some of those points may be answers to questions the builder did not know to ask. And this leads somewhere deeper. The classical view treats existence as the starting point. Solutions exist in the landscape. Processes come afterward and either find them or fail to. The landscape is the primary reality. The process is a method applied to it. But that priority can be inverted. Every real process in the physical world is constructive. Time goes one direction. Commitment is irreversible. Information is local. No real system has the aerial view. No real builder can survey all endpoints simultaneously and then select one. Everything that exists in the physical world came into existence through a process, a sequence of irreversible commitments under constraints, with limited information, where each step shaped what could come next. The aerial view, the landscape of all existing solutions, studied from above, is what construction looks like in the limit where the builder has infinite capability, infinite foresight, infinite reversibility, infinite time. At that limit, commitment costs nothing. Forfeiture is zero. The constructive boundary collapses onto the existence boundary, and the two views become identical. That is the top of the process ladder. But no real process sits at the top of the ladder. Every real process sits somewhere in the middle. Finite capability. Finite foresight. Real forfeiture. The constructive accessibility boundary is the reality. The existence threshold is the idealization. Existence is not reachability. Construction precedes existence. What can be built is more fundamental than what exists. What exists is the trace left behind by construction, viewed from outside time. So the central distinction is simple, but it reaches very far. The geometry of solutions is not the same thing as the geometry of committed process. A landscape may still contain many valid completions, while a builder, from its actual position, has already spent its way out of all of them. Once you take that seriously, several comfortable intuitions stop working. Abundance can hide concentration. Local rationality can conceal fatality. Visible breakdown can be the late echo of an earlier loss. And a process can look healthy after its future is gone. That is the builder's view. It does not replace the classical view from above, It adds the missing view from inside. And once both views are held together, the question changes. Not only whether a good destination exists, but whether the route to it is still alive. Because in committed systems, the decisive event is often not when the goal disappears. It is when the route to it quietly does,